just tell everyone in the internet world that Phil Byrne has entered the building. Ready? Good. So I wanted to discuss the topic of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah. The Yud Gimli Kari Emunah, the 13 basic principles of faith of the Rambam, are, I would like to say, somewhat universally accepted as that which we believe in. How do I know this? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that way. There is no Shulchan Aruch on halachas of what do we believe in. So there's a few ways we know it. One time I heard someone say that the way we know it is because if the Shulchan Aruch would have written about it, he would have followed this. Why? How do I know the Shulchan Aruch would have followed it? Well, the Shulchan Aruch has a rule that it takes the opinions of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, and the majority of the opinions he follows and puts in the Shulchan Aruch. Being that the Rif and the Rosh said nothing about this, clearly he would have followed the Rambam. That's one approach. Another approach is probably a more compelling approach, is I think there has not been a Siddur published in the last 500 years that did not have a form of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah in it. Right? Most Siddurim have two versions of it, that being Yigdal is one, and the other one being the Ani Mamins, the 13 Ani Mamins. Those are generally accepted as the 13 basic principles of faith. This is what we have to believe. If, as we will discuss, if a Jew does not believe even one of the 13 basic principles of faith, it's bad. What does it mean it's bad? So if you look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the number one ranked mitzvah, survey says, is what HaMitzvah HaRishona, number one, Hil HaTzivah Esher Tzivonu LaHamin HaElokus, the first mitzvah before you can do any other mitzvahs is that you have to believe in God. If you don't believe in God, there's not much to talk about in terms of mitzvahs. Therefore, the first mitzvah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam goes out of his way to prove, in fact, that this has to be counted as a mitzvah. How do we know that? He said, because it's a Gemara in Makos. So of Gemara Makos, Omar Tayag Mitzvos Nemar Moshe. So we all know that there's this concept of 613 mitzvahs. Where does that come from? Does the Torah tell us that there are 613 mitzvahs? So the Gemara tells us that. How does the Gemara know? It says, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe. Torah in Gematria is 611. That Moshe gave us two. And the Gemara says that the first two, the Anochi Hashem, were both said mi piyagvura. Those two mitzvahs were said by God. Right? When we got the Aseres Dibros, God directly said the first two. The people were overwhelmed by those two Dibros. So therefore, Moshe said the other ones. So God says two. Torah tiva m'lana Moshe. Moshe says 611. 611 plus two is 613. So there you go. So the Rambam says, we know two things from here. One, we know there are 613 mitzvahs. Two, we know that Anochi, there's any two mitzvahs that everybody has to agree with, are two of the 613, it is Anochi and Lo Yiyah. Right? Those two clearly are from the mitzvahs because that's how we learn the number. We learn the number from 611 plus these two. So clearly these two, Anochi has to be a mitzvah. The Ramban in his Hasagos, the Rambam has a parish, Ramban, Nachmanides, has a parish on the Rambam, Maimonides, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he points out that many people disagree. Notably the Bahag, Baal Halachos Gedolos, disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that, in fact, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah at all. Rather, it's a prerequisite. That before we can get up and say, well, what does God want out of us? We have to believe there is a God. If you don't believe there is a God, it's not that you're missing one mitzvah. You're missing all the mitzvahs. Because by definition, in order for us to be a mitzvah being a commandment, there has to be a mitzvah, someone who commands. So therefore, it's interesting. How can you say Anochi is not one of the commandments? It wasn't the movie. Right? Those are the Ten Commandments. You can say, Charlton Heston, Oliver Sholem, he went up there and he said that, you know, there were 10 commandments. This is number one on the list. So how could the Baha'i argue with Charlton Heston? It's unbelievable. So the answer obviously is that the 10 commandments is a bad translation. The translation of the word of commandment is Tzivoy, mitzvah. Those are commandments. The Aseret HaDibros are the 10 sayings. It's not really the 10 commandments. It's known in the cloak as the 10 commandments. But as we see from the Baha'i, the 10 commandments might not really be 10 commandments. Now the problem the Ramban points out, and the Ramban himself has it, is it seems to be against the Gemara. Didn't the Gemara say specifically, Anochi and Lo Yiyah plus 611? So how could he argue on the fact that Anochi is one of them? So the answer is that he believes that Lo Yiyah is two of them. Lo Yiyah l'chalakim achrib ha'poray v'lo shishtach ha'ver lahem. There should not be another God. You should not bow down. That are two different mitzvahs according to the Baha'i. And therefore, Anochi does not have to count as one. So there is this fascinating machlokes between the Rambam and the Baha'i, whether belief in God is a mitzvah or not. But everybody agrees, whether it's a mitzvah or not, you have to believe in God. What does it mean to believe in God? Everybody who's not an atheist believes in God. They don't necessarily believe in our God. Right, they might believe that God is part of a triumvirate. Right, they might believe that God is Ralph the Lettuce Head. They might have different ideas of what they were there, but everybody has to believe that there is a God. Right, unless you're an atheist, you believe in God. So, what is the mitzvah to believe in God? So that's what led the Rambam to come up with these Yud Gimli Kare Emuna. That these 13 Ikarim, these represent what God is to us. And if you believe in these 13 things, then you believe in our God. If you believe in anything different than that, for example, if you'll reject, you understand that God created the world, but you think that God is divisible. There are a few gods. Or if you believe that, you know, there's one God, but God didn't give us the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the Navi, someone else. Muhammad is the Navi. Then that's not our God. So the Rambam uses the Yud Gimli Kare Emuna to define what is God. What is the God we're believing in? The basis for this, in fact, where did the Yud Gimli Kare Emuna appear actually? If I wanted to open up a sefer from the Rambam, where would I find it? If you open up the Mori Nevuchim, it's not there. If you open up the Mishnah Torah, it's not there. It appears in the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam, in one of his lesser popular svarim, however, owned by probably the most people because it's in the back of the Gemara, the Rambam writes a Pirush HaMishnayos, and on the following Mishnah, he decides to discuss it. The Gemara says, the Mishnah actually says, and this is a well-known Mishnah because songs were made out of it, Kol Yisrael Yishrem Chelek Olam Haba. Every Jew has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Shenemar Va'ame Chulam Tzadikim Olam Yishu Oretz Neitzer Matoy Masa Yodel Yisbayar. There's a proof text, as we say, that everybody, we all believe that everybody who's Jewish has a Chelek Olam Haba. Everybody ultimately has their share in the world to come. That's a good thing. And that's a song. The song ends at that point, however, the Mishnah keeps on going. What? I did. You walked in, like you missed it. You'll have to wait till it goes on the internet. You'll have to buy it at the iTunes song store. The Mishnah, unfortunately, does not end there. Even though the Mishnah starts off with a very cheerful idea that everybody has a chelek olam haba, it goes on to say, ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek olam haba. And these are the exceptions to the rule. For some reason, the song does not go into this. So what are the exceptions? Homer ain't chias ha'mesim in a Torah. If someone denies that there's a concept of Tchias HaMesim, of an afterlife, and that's sort of a Mida Kenegan Mida. If you deny that there is an afterlife, there is no afterlife. Right? What's the old saying? You know? What? No, I think it's something like, how's it go? Nietzsche said there is no God, now God said there is no Nietzsche. You know, it's kind of, now who's laughing? You know? Right, so too. If you say that there's no Olam Haba, well, we're definitely not gonna let you in on it. So that's number one. Ein Torah min haShemayim. If I deny the divinity of the Torah, and I say it was written by J.P. and whoever else might have written it, that's out. V'apikoros. And an apikoros. What is an apikoros? Who is an apikoros? What's the definition of the word? A lot of people think that the word apikoros comes from the word Epicurus, an Epicurean who did it. It's probably not right. But an apikoros also doesn't get a chayakol mahabah. So the Rambam, in his Pirush Mishnayah, says we should really translate what that is. What is an apikoros? What do I have to believe? If I deny one of the basic beliefs of Judaism, the dogma, whatever I want to call it, then I no longer have a chayakol mahabah. I'm no more part of the tribe. I'm out. But what do I have to believe? So the Rambam comes up with this idea that there are 13 basic principles of faith. And that's what we have. Now, where does the number 13 come from? Yeah. Right. So again, in the who knows one song. So there's a different song. Who knows 13? That is correct. Right. Right. The Shlosh Yisrei Midaya. But I think that this probably predates the Who Knows One song. Could be wrong, but it would seem that way, right? So the general assumption is that there, from no place, the Rambam just listed them off, and it happened to be 13. It wasn't a matter of that there was a third. It's not like the 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara said there were 613, and we had to fit all the pieces in. Yeah, it happened to work out that way. So look at the Rambam has a long hakdama of Parak Chaylek, a long introduction explaining what we believe. And a little piece here, Kasher Yamin Ha'odam Ela Yisodos Kulam. Miz Barabar Munoso Ba'Hashem. If someone believes in all this, and he has his belief in God, who Nichlis B'Kal Yisrael, he's one of us. He's a Jew. Who Mitzvah Olavo, L'Rachim Olav, you should love him, you should have mercy on him. Linar Imo B'Chom Mashatziva, Hashem Yisbarach, Ish V'Chaveru Min Ha'avu Min Ha'achla. And this guy should be treated, you know, with all of the good things that God tells us that we're supposed to treat fellow Jews with. The Efil also Mashiachum in Averos. Let's say, you know, he does Averos. He eats treif, whatever he does. Listen, nobody's perfect. Machmas Hataiva Viskabras Hateva Garua. Because his Yetzahara gets the better of him. Who Nenash Kefi Chetav. So he gets punished for what he does wrong. However, Avo Yeshlo Chetav Haba Vubi Poshi Yisrael. Obviously, there'll be a certain amount of payment that will have to be extracted for him for what he did, but ultimately, he's going to Olam Haba. He's part of the tribe. However, if somebody denies one of these basic beliefs, Hare Yatzim in Aklal, he's no longer part of the tribe. V'kafar be'ikr, v'nikra tzeduki, v'apikoris, v'kotis natios. He's called all the nasty things. You don't love this person. You're supposed to hate this person. As the pasuk says, I hate those who God hates. So the Rambam spells out quite clearly, not just here but elsewhere, that this is it. That he goes on to say quite clearly that in the event that a person denies one of these 13 principles of faith, then that's it. You can do all the mitzvahs in the world, you're not going to get any schar for it. Which is interesting. Right? Let's say, for example, I'm a very religious Jew, and I do whatever I suppose. I daven 3 times a day, and I drink Chol Yisrael, and I don't eat strawberries, and I'm sure all the mitzvahs a person has to do, I do it. Right? However, I happen to be an axe murderer. So, nobody's perfect. Listen, we all have our Yetzirahs, you know how it is. So what's the story? So according to the Rambam, nobody's perfect. Obviously, I will be punished for being an axe murderer. But for all the good deeds I did and all the Chol Yisrael I drank, I will ultimately get Olam Haba. However, if I am an upstanding person and I keep Shabbos and I honor my parents and I give money to the UJA and I do all the mitzvahs I'm supposed to do, however, I don't believe in this. It's all out the window. The fact that I was an axe murderer, that didn't affect everything else. You know, what's good is good, what's good is bad. This somehow undoes it. How do we understand this Rambam? So that's one of the things we'll have to discuss. First, get a little bit more background. The Shloah HaKadosh, this is a collector's item. This isn't, this is just worth noting. The Shloah believes that the number 13 predates the Rambam. It's not that the Rambam happened to add it up, but it happens to be that there is number one. Matzasi Tfilo Yerushona. He said, the Shloah says, I found an old prayer. We stole this B'Shem Tivyomi from Rav Tivyomi. Rav Tivyomi is a Tana from the Yerushalmi. I mean, the Yerushalmi predating the Bavli. So this goes back a few years. And he says as follows, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, Hashem HaMekudosh B'Shlosh Esrei, L'man Avram Yitzchak HaRishonim B'Briso Shlosh Esrei. It's a God who is holy in 13 ways. In honor of Avram Yitzchak, who had 13 covenants, Maman Yaakov Ish Tom Vetzatzov Shoshesway, and Yaakov and his 13 children, Techineni Imekaimei Tarasla Hanudrashas B'Midah Shoshesway. Right, be kind to me as the people who learn your Torah, which has the 13 midos, as was mentioned earlier. Ubarchein Redavik L'Shomrei Mimikra V'Oyimdu Mimeni Midoscha Hashoshesway. Right. So keep me with your 13 positive attributes, the Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, V'chanun. V'har er panecha erai, v'hotzei sichu l'po al Torah techaneni ve'eracha b'shem, im yosher ikarim shlosh esvei. And I should realize with the Yud Gimel Ikarim. This indicates that the Yud Gimel Ikarim, this 13 basic principles of faith, go back to the time of the Gemara, which would significantly predate the Rambam. However, it is worth noting that this is not found anywhere else. No one else has this. Probably the Shloah picked this up and thought it was older than it actually was. And being that the Shloah postdated the Rambam by a good 300 years, the assumption is probably that the Rambam did come up with this on his own. However, there is such an opinion out there worth noting that perhaps there is this concept out there that there are 13 of them. The question is, how seriously are these Rambams, 13? For example, if you look at the Rambam in his Hilchos Tshuva, in the Mishneh Torah, he does not have 13. Looking at Perek Gimel quickly, in Halachos Zayin he says, Chamisha Nikrei Minim. Five people are called Minim. Okay? Minim, we oftentimes think, stands for the words Mikat, Yeshu, and Notzri, meaning Christians. People who deny God. And he lists off five of the Ikarim. Then in Chazi says, Shloshehem Nikri Apikarsim. There are three Apikarsim. He lists those off. Then afterwards, two lines later, he says, Shloshehem Kofrim Batorah. And there are three people that are Kofrim. And that's his list. 5 + 3 + 3 does not equal 13. So this was written after, right? The Rambam, the order which he wrote his Svarim was first he wrote his Pirush HaMishnayos, that was followed by his Yad HaChazok, or the Mishneh Torah, and that was followed by the Maror Nevuchim. So it's unclear why he left them out. These ideas can be found elsewhere, but the grouping of them together does not take place anywhere else. However, we seem to be very serious about it. In the Kobetz Ma'amorim for Rav Elchanan Wasserman, this is a very well-known piece. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was a Rav in Baranovich. He was a Chavrusa with the Chofetz Chaim, and he perished in the Holocaust. In fact, his son just died recently. It was very sad, because that was his only son, and his son never had children. So Rav Elchanan was probably the top Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik's grandfather. And he quotes from him regularly. So he discusses the idea of a apikores b'shogeg. Let's say someone doesn't believe because they just don't know. Or somebody goes through a process of intellectual searching, and they come up with a different idea. They honestly try, So what are you going to say then? So looking at the fifth line, it says, "V'omrim mishmo b'zeh haloshon." This is a famous line. Der vosses nebuch ha'apikores is eichen apikores. I think one or two people might need a translation on that. He who is nebuch an apikores. How do you translate the word nebuch? That one doesn't need a translation. Someone who is an unfortunate apikores is still an apikores. What's the idea behind this? So, there are two approaches one could take to this. One approach, which is the approach that Rebbe Chanan takes, is that the Rambam actually sees everything in terms of Olam Haba, in terms of intellect. Olam Haba is out there. What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is reaching a level of intellect that a person's ultimate goal can be achieved, and that is the ultimate goal of Yediyas Hashem. Knowledge of God. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And a person needs to develop themselves, number one, intellectually, but beyond that, spiritually as well, morally, to the point that they have the ability to learn it. If a person, for a reason unrelated to their own, never learns Torah, if a person never develops the way that they should, it's not a punishment that you're not going to get Olam Haba. You just do not have the ability to have Olam Haba. You can't do it. Right? There, this is Nebuch, and I'll be Chorus. I just like speaking Yiddish. He who just does not ended up not knowing it for whatever reason, still, he doesn't know it, though. Right? You know, oftentimes we have in school, a kid shows up and he explains that the reason he failed the final is because that, you know, he was sick, his grandmother was sick, his dog ate it, etc. So again, you want to be exempt from attendance, etc. But the bottom line, to get a diploma, you have to know the material. We have to certify that you learned something here. You know, and even if it wasn't your fault, if you never learned anything, we can't give you the diploma. We might be very sorry, we might feel for you, might even refund your tuition. Highly doubtful. But you know, don't say I said we'd never do that. Right, who knows what we might do? But to give you a diploma? How are we going to give you a diploma if you never learned it? So how are you going to get Olam Haba if you never learned it? You can't get it. That can't happen. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two goes a little bit like this. Possibility two, which I happen to like a little better, is an approach of, well, people do mitzvahs, and for the mitzvahs you get schar. And you get schar for mitzvahs if I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah. Let's say I don't believe in God at all. However, I never really liked shellfish. So I don't eat shellfish. You know, I think that kosher is healthier. I read it once in a magazine, on the internet, a blog. It told me that you know, the thing that hurts when I go like this, it'll be better if I eat kosher. So I eat kosher now the rest of my life, and now I can go like this without any pain. Do I get schar for that? Right? I don't work on Shabbos because I'm lazy. I don't work on Sundays. I don't work on Mondays. I don't work on Tuesdays. And Shabbos happens to be one of the days of the week, so I don't work on that one either. Am I getting schar for it? No, you're not going to get schar for that. In order to get schar for mitzvahs, you got to do the mitzvahs. You got to do it because it's a mitzvah. So let's say I now keep kosher because God, who is Ralph the lettuce head, tells me that this is the proper thing to do. So that's the same as doing it on my own, right? If something that's not God tells me that Ralph is not our God. Why isn't Ralph God? Well, God doesn't have a body. Ralph has a physical presence, shall we say, you know? God has preceded time. Ralph didn't. You know, there's a whole long list of reasons why Ralph is not God. So the question is, at what point, where do we draw the line? So I'm doing it because my God tells me. What's the definition of my God? So the Rambam is saying that your God has to be defined by these certain attributes. If your God has a body, if he's corporal, right, then he's not our God. Right? There are other things that we can discuss. And maybe I might see my God as not being able to read minds. He's all-knowing, etc. We'll have to see where we draw the lines. But the Rambam defines what is God, what do we believe in. And you have to do the mitzvahs because God commanded it. And if you're doing it because any other reason besides God commanded it, God defined by the Yud Gimli Karimuna, well, then you never did any mitzvahs. I'm sorry. But you never did mitzvahs, you can't get tzchak. Yes?
Rambam doesn't raise the question of people who don't do something because it's moral and right, not because of good and bad. And there's plenty of people.
Right, he does raise it, and he does not take, unfortunately, he says, no, you're not going to get all mahabba for that. You have to do it because it's a mitzvah. Obviously, if they acted immorally, that would be a sin. And by not acting immorally, that's not a sin, and they don't get punished for it. But to actively get schar, to get reward, that's a different story. Now, the Rambam's stance here is bothersome, quite simply. Because there are, particularly nowadays, there are a lot of people who are wonderful Jews who just don't know anything. They grew up in a situation where they never received a Jewish education. And to turn around and say whether they're going to Olam Haba or not is solely based on their intellectual achievements is hard to accept. And Reb Chaim's comment, based on the Rambam, there versus never cannot be curious, is I cannot be curious. It's also, it's hard to believe, it's hard to accept this. We like to think that if someone does their best, the best should be good enough. My wife's grandmother is always fond of saying, I try my best and Hashem should do the rest. Words to have that on my short list of words to live by. That and Morifegis, you get what you get and don't be upset. So these are everything I needed to my life I should have learned in kindergarten. Right, so many people disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion, in fact, might be a singular opinion. Other people try to deal with it. So the late Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, Rabbi Weinberg, has a book on the Yud Gimel Yikarei Emunah in the Hakdama. He tries to deal with it a little bit. We put it on the sheets here in number 8. Discussing who is the Rav Chaim talking about. So actually, Rav Chaim's sympathy was a director, as an individual who possesses certain erroneous beliefs or lacks certain necessary beliefs. In turn, these shortcomings are inaccurate or invalid approach to the mitzvahs, which ultimately results in the Kohen's inability to accurately practicing Jew. This is the unfortunate Abikaras to whom Rav Chaim referred to. So he's taking the approach of, the bottom line, according to the Rambam, you need to have a certain level to get in, and you need to have a certain level of belief to be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs, and that person is not going to be able to do that. My impression is that this is the minority opinion. As much as we accept, I believe that we accept the Rambam and we accept the overwhelming majority of his Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, not necessarily all of them, as we will discuss. There are opinions out there where he is singular, or at least in the minority. Still, this idea that a person who erroneously does not keep one of the Ikarei Emunah ultimately is not going to Olam Haba, a shogeg, shall we say, that's probably not the majority opinion. Now, this idea of Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah, that there has to be 13 of them, that also is something that not everybody agrees on. For example, we have of Chasdai Kreskes in his Hakdama the Or Hashem. Kreskes lived in, I think, the 14th century. He was a Jewish philosopher. He goes, he says that he also went and made a list of the Ikarei Emunah, looking at the third line, the second line from the bottom. Kshechikarnu mehem matzom shisha. I think that there are only 6 of them. Echa Yediyas Hashem b'nimtzaos, one is recognizing God. Sheni Hashgachoso b'hem, that God controls the world. Hashitzi Yucholoso, the fact that His abilities to run the world. Revi Hanavua, right? 2, that there is prophecy. 4, there is prophecy. 5, Habachira, that a person has free will. Hashitzi Atachlis, ultimately that there is a goal. If you look at the Tashbetz. He also has his list. And he also goes for a smaller number. It's harder to read here. So I'll listen, when the Tashbetz at some point will become more popular, then they'll put him on the Bar Ilan with everybody else. Until then, we have to work with the Otzar HaChachma, which is difficult. So he comments on the Mishnah. Kol Yisrael Yishtam Chek Olam Haba, Shenemar V'amekum Tzadikim Olam Yirshu Aret Nitzar Matoy Masiyot HaHisbayer. So he points out, Cain Noagul Rahaskil Mashal Romdu El Apostle Kol Yisrael Yishtam Chek Olam Haba, who Kipir Sha'aret Suvi Bekan Eretz HaChayim, Shua Om Shekuo Oroch. So he said that this is when we read Pirkei Avos, we traditionally start off with this, because we are working on perfecting ourselves, getting into the never-ending world, the Olam Haba. And he says, what do you do? So he said there are basically three chalakim. Chalak harishon, then you could possibly read this. Asher kranuhu chalak lo kamimal kishem disbar besofas haladerach hafilosofin hamunos. Further, you have to believe. If you don't believe, there would not be cursed. Chalak hasheni. He goes on and explains that, and also a chalak hashlishi. This is more spelled out clearer, at least the print is clearer, in the Sefer Ikarim. The Sefer Ikarim basically says that there are only three Ikarei Emunah. Now, it's interesting, the Sefer Ikarim is a parish, it's written by Rav Albo, and it's a parish on the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah. Now, he starts off by saying that there are only three Ikarei Emunah. One could take that to believe that he denies 10 out of the 13, and therefore he's going to burn in hell 10 times over. That's probably not the right approach. It's interesting, there were people who believed that, and when it came out, some people were referring to the same as the Sefer HaOkrim, book of those who uproot. But that's probably an unduly harsh approach. What's the reason for this? So again, perhaps if anybody wants to read a book on this and has an awful lot of time on their hands, I would recommend number 12, Rabbi J. David Bleich's Imperfect Faith, which is a wonderful book, around 600 pages long, and one page denser than the next. It's not an easy read, but he does a wonderful job on introducing the Gimli Karim and dealing with them one at a time. So basically what he comes out and says, and you can read it here, is that when dealing with the Yud Gimli Karim Emunah, the question is, what are we trying to accomplish here? He says, the Karim has this idea that there are only three. What are these three? He says that what the Karim is explaining is, what does it take to be a religion? In order to be a religion, you need three things. One, you need God. If you don't have a God to worship, you can't be a religion. Two, you have to have God telling you what he wants. There has to be some sort of form of prophecy. If God doesn't tell you what he wants, then you can't possibly have a religion, because you can't worship God because you don't know what he wants. And three, there has to be reward and punishment, because God has to know what's going on and care about it. If you're missing any of those three, right? If there's no God, obviously you don't get the credit. If you don't know what he wants, it's like you. And if he's not paying attention, it doesn't matter if you do it. So that is step number one. Step number two is the approach of the Or Hashem, which is a discussion of what makes Judaism a different religion. What makes us unique? And those are three, our six. And lastly, you have the Rambam. So what's the Rambam doing here? What are we trying to do? Yes, the Rambam is trying to define God. So as we will see, again, we only have a few weeks to do it. We're not going to be able to do 13 Ikarei Emunah in the next 5 weeks. So either we will pick and choose, or we'll go straight and leave Rabbi Brand and Rabbi Engel to pick up the rest. But one thing that we'll have to be clear on is that the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah can basically be broken into three categories. Meaning the first five, then the next four, and then the four after that. The first five are defining God. What is God? The fact that God is beyond time. The fact that God does not have a body. Right? The fact that God is indivisible. That's number one. Number two is, the next four, the discussion of how God talks to us. One is that there is such a thing as nevuah. Then you have to establish, after you establish that there is nevuah, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest form of nevuah. And three, that he gave us the Torah. Why do we have to establish this? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu is not the highest Navi, then anybody else could come along and say, I am a higher Navi, God changed his mind. If any other leader of a later religion will outrank Moshe, then he could change the Torah. And number three being, again, this idea of Schar V'Onesh, which of course will end up being the ultimate Schar V'Onesh, the Trias HaMesim, and Yemos HaMashiach, which we focused on last year. So that's the basic outline here, is what we have to do is that whenever we look at one of the Gimli Kari Emunah, we have to look at a few things. One is, why is this necessary? And in a lot of cases, it isn't necessary. For example, if we get a chance to discuss the fact that God doesn't have a body. And what if God did have a body? What would make God less God if he had a body? And, you know, we talk about the Yada Chazaka, the Zroa Netuya. Right? Destroyed the outstretched arm. So? I'd be interested in it, but if not, I'll have to handle it.
The issue is there's a limitation on God. God no longer has infinite power and strength in the body.
Okay, so that is probably the answer, right? The God, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, all around. It can't be if he's stuck in a body. Right? But the question is, but so what? Let's say he's still all-knowing, and he's still all-powerful. So what? Yeah, so maybe we'll discuss that one of the basis of Chassidus is that if a person learns Tanya, which I haven't, what it says is that the way God created the world was by removing himself. There was 10 levels of God's removing himself from this world. Right? And God's greatest action is removal. The fact that we don't see God in this world is God's greatest creation, right? Can God create a rock that's so heavy that God can't pick it up? So if you say no, Nathan, then I say that God can't do anything. If God can't do that, there's something he can't do. So the answer has to be yes, he can. And the God's power includes the power to limit himself. That doesn't take away from his power. Right? We'll discuss at some point, I hope, the issue of if God knows what I'm going to do, where is the free will? Right? I have an opportunity now today to eat kosher or non-kosher. If God knows I'm going to do that, so I never made the choice. I don't have free will. If God is all knowledgeable. However, if I do have free will, he's not all knowledgeable. So how do we deal with these things, with these types of issues? So the answer has to be, to a certain extent, so God can limit himself. He has a right to do that. So if God has a right to limit himself, so what's so bad if he has a body? So the answer that the Ravid gives is nothing's wrong with it. The Ravid says, even though I think God does not have a body, and that is correct. I think if someone believes God has a body, he is not an apikaris. He's wrong. But just being wrong doesn't make you an apikaris. Right? So everything that we deal with, we're going to have to sit and discuss, why is this? Is this really necessary, and why is it necessary? And also beyond that, we have to focus on, you know, well, what does this add? How does this practically play out? Is it agreed upon, etc.? So that these are the words of introduction. And that's what I hope to hand to deal with over the next few weeks, to a certain extent, to the extent that we can deal with it, and to the extent that we don't finish it, either someone will pick it up afterwards, or we'll have to wait till next summer. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.